Welcoming from Making Tarantino.
Yeah, Phil Duke the second.
Yes, hello. The
me,
only
me
one
and Sully. He came up with a cool topic. We were just going back and forth and like, hey, we got plenty of topics what we can do down the road, but it's just a fun just collaboration. We were just talking different subjects and what came up was musicals.
Yeah.
That's right, guys. We like everything and anything. We find the good stuff in all.
That's what was interesting with, I listened to like five episodes of your podcast and I'm like, this has got everything in it. And the one thing I clued on was he doesn't like Chicago. Maybe we should bitch about Chicago back and forth.
I was like,
you try to turn me, I'll try to turn you. And then I'm like, that's not a good way to start a relationship. Like just fighting about a movie.
I just thought it was just cool. Just the invite. And I was just like, sure. You know what? Let's talk about it. You know, it is an interesting, you know.
Well, and what was funny was you were like 10 and I was like, okay. And I'm training a guy, 21-year-old kid who I keep thinking is older than he is. So I'd start talking about stuff and he had no idea, but I'm riding with him and I'm like 10 topics for 10 musicals. And we start going off and then you write five each. And I'm like, oh shit. Okay. Well, that makes it easier, but harder. Like
yeah,
five.
Well,
uh-oh.
Just whatever. Yeah. It's just a must-see. You got to watch. You know?
And I know that you're going to have some that I don't have, or that you're going to have the same ones that I have, or
if
whatever.
If we get a
doppelganger,
you know, we'll figure it out. You know, I always have, like, you know, honorable mentions and what have you, and I'm just all about, let's make this a laid-back process instead of something where you're just like, not sure.
That's what's funny. At first, I was like, okay, I'm going to go watch Cabaret. I've never seen Cabaret. I'm going to watch that. Wow. I'm going to watch The Music Man. I've never seen that. And then I'm like, no, I'm going too deep. Like, I don't want to do all this homework. What if those movies suck? I have those on my list of movies for me personally to watch, but maybe don't watch them right now. And I'm like, go off of what I know right now. When he said top 10 musicals, go with that. I'm like, okay, I'm good. You know,
so. It's debatable because there's plenty of movies that have musical segments. And they were labeled as that, like every other animated movie. And I was just like, you know, I mean.
There was a guy from England, one of my friends from England, who's like, no, Wicker Man, the original Wicker Man is a musical. And we're like, no, it's not. And he's like, no, it's a musical. Like, it's got that singing in it. Yeah. For one scene. Like, so yeah,
you never know,
but yeah, that's the thing.
People want to make it harder than it is.
I was thinking of it before we started recording about like where people, it's like musical, like you said, musical of like singing. Like when my wife and I went and saw Les Mis, the movie, she was like, oh, they sang all the time. And I'm like, yeah, honey, that's a musical. And she's like, I thought it'd be like a Disney movie singing every once in a while. And I'm like, so that's a difference. Like Beauty and the Beast, a musical, but you know, I mean, well, now I'm talking myself out of it. Beauty and the Beast is a great musical, but I didn't put it on my list. And Aladdin.
Yeah. I mean, and just as a disclaimer, there's plenty of musicals we have all seen. It's just, it's a personal preference that we're coming down to. Well, and just some of these might be midnight screeners, so keep in caution, some of these movies that we're mentioning do have adult themes, so might be a good idea to put kids to bed. But if you're a mature theater kid who's seen it all, then welcome aboard.
And that, exactly. And that we might say something that everybody's like, you motherfuckers forgot, blah, blah, blah. You know?
Yeah. Oh, we'll deal with hate mail later.
So that's when Twitter will write you like all this. What about this? And you'll be like, okay, good, good, good.
Alrighty, so the guest goes first. And so any order, just one of your five.
You want to go five to one?
No, I figure no particular order. We're being so chill tonight. Just something that one of your five musicals.
Well, I'm gonna go with
recommend.
Okay, then I'm gonna mix it up instead of, and then I'll tell you my numbers later. So Little Shop of Horrors that I saw in the theater. I'm 51 years old. Me and my buddy saw that and we're like, it's so funny. It's got good music to it. Like you can sing. When you rewatch it, it takes you back to that same where you were when you saw it for the first time.
Years ago.
So cool. Yeah. So that was, you know, and then where you're like, it was just done so well. It's like another world, you know, and all this stuff that just, it just added to everything. It was like, oh, this, you could see it being a stage play. You could see it like, oh, this would be how it would be if I saw it as a play. Because then I think everybody went and was like, oh, there's a movie before. And they go and watch a Jack Nicholson 1960 whatever movie. And they're like, this isn't a musical. And the way it promotes is Jack Nicholson starring in Little Shop of Horrors. And he just plays the guy that, like, the guy that I met. What's that guy's name? His brother, he was in SNL. James Belushi. James Belushi was like the reporter.
Yes, he had brief key role. Yeah.
And I think that's all that Jack Nicholson plays is like the reporter. And it's like, oh, like everybody thought he was the main guy.
Yeah. Like you say, you know, some people are going to be still turned off by dark comedy while other people kind of like it just because it's got horror elements when it's something for everybody, really. It's, but yeah, a little insight. You got to let the ones who aren't going to appreciate it, you just got to just shrug your shoulders. But I think people will find it accessible.
Same with any movie. You could show this to a new kid or something and they'd be like, I don't like it, or it's too old. You know, my wife's like, if it's before she was born, like she's 10 years younger than me. So she's 41. She's like, if it was made before 81, I don't want to watch it. And I'm like, okay, because that's when she was born. And it's like, and
were born in the 50s, and some of them will be like, I never liked black and white. And that makes you go, really? That was all you had back then? What the hell?
Okay. Well, and the same thing with where she'll be like, she was like, what did she say? Where we watched Double Indemnity. And she was like, that was really good. And I'm like, yeah, see, it's an older movie and you liked it.
Yeah, but whatever works.
Yeah, it's just, I don't know what to say about Little Shop of Horrors. It was directed by Frank Oz, wasn't it?
Yeah, I'd say the right amount of talent is able to play off each other so well, this whole cast.
And it had the humor and it had the music and it had, you know, Bill Murray's in it. And
even the extended version that came out recently, people had been able to just have a lot of fun. Christopher Guest, Tisha Campbell, Ellen Green, and Rick Moranis, and of course, Steve Martin. You know, what a giant cast. Yeah.
That's what sucks, but is good that they'll redo those. But you're like, Rocky Horror Picture Show that they did is not as good as Tim, which
there's Alive one honorable mention that I forgot.
Rocky Horror Picture Show is great. That'd be an honorable mention that I forgot until we talk, which I knew when we're talking, I'll be like, oh, wait. But yeah, it's just Rick Moranis and her being good. And then like on the last podcast that Chip and I did on Making Tarantino, I was like, yeah, I'm going to be on the show, Jacked Up Reviews. And he was like, what about Grease 2? He's like, Grease 2 is horrible. And then we start singing songs and I'm like, okay, maybe Grease 2 isn't that bad. Like, wait a minute.
I mean, it had some good stuff. These movies are never going to be perfect. They don't necessarily even have to have, I mean, Purple Rain showed us that we don't have to have a great plot. We just got to have style.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm going to go with Newsies.
You know, here's what's funny. I always wanted to see that growing up.
That's fine.
I was like, I need to see that movie. Then later I find out Christian Bale's in it and you're like, holy shit. And other people, but I've never watched it. I need to.
They did a Disney 2017 Plus, right? Version. This has everybody. This has Max Casella, who's a bit part actor, as well as Bill Pullman, who I always, for whatever reason, seem to forget he's in this. But
yeah,
it was one of those. I would always see parts of it just because my parents were just watching TV a lot growing up. And
yeah,
I mainly remember just Robert Duvall's character. And it was set, you know, just in New York City. Yeah. 1900s, just showing a newsstand strike, and it was just very gentle. But
yeah,
you're right. I would often get it mixed up with Swing Kids.
Yeah.
Well, it's not a must see, but it's a very laid back movie, and compared to some of the other 90s.
And did it have dance scenes in it or more just musicals?
It does, and just key moments where they're making a protest and they're all marching and dancing together, but it's more natural as opposed to overwhelming.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
you could watch it with grandparents who want something a little old fashioned as well as more newer movies. And
yeah,
if you watch it with some theater friends, I think they'll definitely love it even more.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Or like you said, with the older people, it reminds them of like an MGM musical or something. And they're like, oh, I get it. Like, you know.
Exactly. Yeah. You don't have to answer too many questions and you don't have to do research necessarily, because like some of those will have a historical backdrop, and for whatever reason, they won't have, like, they won't do necessarily enough of a job explaining.
Too dry. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Or it'll be only for a certain crowd, so it's cut in half because you just don't know how to react. So
yeah, the tone. I had just jump off subject for a second. I had a friend of mine wrote a script, sent it to me to read, that they're going to be making into a feature length, and I was like, this is the first time I read a script where I got the tone. Like I said, I get your tone just from reading it. Like, that's what you need, is the tone. Is like, you know, if you miss the tone, then you're like, the movie's horrible. Like, it's either too dry, the tone isn't right. Like, is it a funny, happy movie, or is it? And that's like we said about Little Shop of Horrors. It's that perfect line of humor and horror, like dark comedy. Like, it's great.
Mm-hmm.
You want me just to go rarity. Next, or you got more?
Yeah, Newsies? Absolutely. Yeah.
I'm gonna put maybe I'll watch Newsies tonight after we get off this call.
I've done something right then.
My next one, exactly. We talked about Grease 2, but Grease, the original Grease, is like so good. I went and saw that. It was a re-release, but it had all the words at the bottom as a sing-along, and it was really cool. And everybody who went was like dressed, and it was funny because it dressed up, and I was like, oh, who's this girl? She looks like Sandy D. Oh, I like. And then I'm like, oh, those are drag queens. Wait a minute. Oh my God. Like, I'm like, oh, okay. But they were just like Rizzo, and I think Rizzo, and anyway, they were everybody was in there, not everybody, but a lot of people were dressed for the movie, and it was very cool, and we all sang along, and it was just a fun time. But I had seen that before then, and it was just, it's one where you're like we said, like the music is so good, like you're just like, all these songs are good, and it's funny. It's got him trying to play basketball to be a jock, and he doesn't understand basketball. And, you know, him getting in a fight with that guy when the guy throws a ball to check the ball. He thinks he's throwing it in anger, and he starts to beat up the guy. You're like, what the heck?
Nice.
But it's the late Olivia Newton-John, John Travolta's in it. And it's good. Even Lorenzo Lamas is in it.
Right.
In a small part.
His only good performance.
But yeah, you kind of said, like, do you not like it as much?
No, I didn't expect that version. So that's it's interesting.
Yeah. No, I love it. No, it was good.
Nice, nice. Okay. So my next one is Gigi. This is a 1963
musical. Another one. See, this is what's good. Now, did you do this on purpose? I'm going to reach far deep into my brain.
These are just ingrained in my soul and my blood.
That's another one that I've heard about that I've been like, that's a really good, you know, I've heard it's really good. You know, just like I've never seen Cabaret, but I heard that it's really good.
You know, Cabaret is a good one. That might be better for if you're more of an old school kind of film guy. Well, this... Mm-hmm. You might be an old school film guy, but this is still intriguing in that it's more of a drama outside of it. It's just, it has musical moments spread throughout the rest of the movie. I just like how they make it more naturally occur as opposed to just.
Yeah, that's on one of my honorable men. On a lot of these, there's some that it's just natural. That works, but yeah, I definitely need to put Gigi. I need to watch that tonight. I need to find that. There's several. that like I said when you said this, where I was like, I'll let everybody know I've never seen Guys and Dolls. I'm like, I should see that. I hear that's really good. Never seen Cabaret. Never seen The Music Man. I'm like, I need to see all these, but I'm like, no, for the show, I'm just gonna bring what I got.
Yeah.
So you ready for my next one?
I'm ready, my dude. I know you can do this.
Let's see. What should we pick? Mary Poppins. So Mary Poppins is one that you don't agree. You're like,
I don't have an issue with it. I just didn't expect it. So
no, it's that naturalistic music.
We'll return after these messages.
Hello and welcome to Culture Shocked, the pop culture podcast brought to you by four aging millennials and our outdated opinions. Join us every Tuesday as we discuss movies, TV, games, and even music, new and old.
Dude, what do you think you're doing?
Are you seriously trying to record a promo without us right now?
Well, yeah.
Dude, you can't just do the promo by yourself. Who's gonna listen to that?
Yeah, and you probably haven't even told them that we're a pop culture podcast where we always agree on everything. For instance, the Sam Raimi trilogy easily being the best of the Spider-Man movies.
No. But I think we can all agree that Jaws is a classical masterpiece.
Nope, don't like that. But we do all agree that the sequel trilogy of Star Wars is the best in the Skywalker saga, right, guys?
That comment is so ridiculous. I don't even know where to
Anyways, that'll do it from all of us here at Culture Shock. Thanks for listening.
Do you ever find yourself thinking about who would win in a fight between Goku and Superman? Hi, I'm James Gavsey, and on the Who Would Win show, me and my co-host Ray ignore anything important happening in the outside world and debate fictional battles between characters from comics, movies, and video games.
We got a new show every week, and almost always am I the winner.
Yeah, not true, Ray.
In the past, we've discussed such matches as Captain America versus Darth Vader, Solid Snake versus the Iron Giant, classic matchups like RoboCop versus Terminator, and even the Muppets versus Sesame Street.
That one was crazy. So if you're a fan of geek culture and love a spirited debate, check out the Who Would Win show wherever you get your podcasts, or check us out at whowouldwinshow.com.
We let things pile up in the DVR, we add them to our queues, we wait for the DVDs and Blu-rays. We time shift. The Time Shifters Podcast. Sci-fi, horror, fantasy, superheroes, comedy, action, film, television, maybe some not-so-current events. Find us on iTunes or at timeshifterspodcast.com.
Cool thing about Blind Knowledge is we are in multiple countries. We are worldwide, all across the globe. We are in the US, we are in the UK, we are in Canada, Germany, India, Japan, we're in Australia, y'all. BlindKnowledge.com. Now back to the feature presentation.
Dragon Ball Z, One Piece, Naruto, all things that we love, all manga that were originally published in the legendary magazine Weekly Shonen Jump.
But not every series can run for 300 chapters and have a hit anime. This is David.
This is Jordan.
We're the hosts of Shonen Flop. Each episode we look at manga that ran in Jump that didn't quite make it.
We discuss what it did wrong, what it did right, how the series could have turned itself around, and ultimately, was it a flop or not?
Run all your favorite podcast apps, and you can find us at shonenflop.com.
Keep on flopping, floppers.
That's where I threw him off when I'm like, let's argue about Chicago. And he's like, oh, I know who this guy is. And he doesn't.
Oh, dude.
No.
Very chill, Ben Lindbergh.
No. No, this one was like, you watch it, and you're, and first of all, Mary Poppins is like, you know, I promise I'll never lie. And then the kids are like, we saw her dancing in the park with penguins. And she's like, no, you guys, you know, and they're like, but you promised. And she's like, promises are like pie crust, easily made and easily broken. And you're like, whoa, you just promised them that you would stick up for. So, but it's so good. Dick Van Dyke, Chim Chimney, Chim Chimney, Chim Chim Chiru. That's a great song.
So many people want to shit talk so many different movies. And it's like, no.
Yeah.
Don't be distracted by.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, by him not being British. Well, just have fun. This is before they gave a shit about that, you know?
Exactly. And the thing of, and the, you know, spoonful of sugar and supercalifragilistic, like all
everyone
that.
Everyone can hum that even without realizing they can hum it. That's the crazy part.
They're like, well, what's that song from? Oh, shoot. Yeah.
Totally.
I mean, it's, I haven't seen the sequel that they made, semi-sequel, whatever. I haven't seen that yet. I hear Dick Van Dyke's in it, but it's her, which I like her anyway, because I heard Julie Andrews, she can't sing as well as she used to. Something happened, or maybe she had throat cancer. She had something. I don't want to say throat cancer, because then, like you said, people go, you're wrong. But she had something wrong where she can't sing like she used to, so she doesn't do musicals anymore.
I mean, she's earned it. She's made a living doing what she wants.
And if she was married
Julie
to Blake
Andrews
Edwards.
Think the director is professional. I'm going to trust her word over someone else.
Exactly.
Man, so, oh man. So My next one. Yeah. Sorry, just to put people on the spot. I keep forgetting the list. No, my next one.
I can go for an hour on Mary Poppins. I can't go for an hour, but
I'm going to say, and this is a debatable one, but there's numerous times where they stop to burst into song. It's more of a heavy metal musical, but that's not why I like it. Oh, I like it because the interplay between the two leads.
That one I'm thinking. Okay, go ahead.
I'll tell you.
I'm thinking it's the one with the teacher from Buffy the Vampire Slayer. What was that called? Something with an art, the musical. It was called it was like a rock opera. But
I don't know about that one, but
maybe it's something else that I have on my honorable mentions.
It was filmed in 2002 and released finally in 06. It is Tenacious D in The Pick of Destiny.
Ah, that is, I have only seen parts of it on TV once, and then it cut, and then I was like, I need to go watch the rest of that, and I never did. It's amazing that you're bringing up movies that I thought, like, it's going to be, I'm going to say Grease, you're going to go, oh, that's on my list. I'm going to say, you know, whatever, Little Shop of Horrors, you'll go, that's on my honorable mentions. But no, it's even better. It's like, I'm going to go with Pick of Destiny. Holy shit. Like, okay. And they do such good songs. And kind of like we said earlier, kind of like you said about Mary Poppins, people shit on it. And they're like, oh, the plot makes no sense.
They won't see it because they're not, for whatever reason, a fan of some of the cast. And like, it's just very nutty. You don't have to be high to enjoy it. I hate it when they say that too. And it's like, I mean, if that gives you more joy in general, that's your business. But judge the movie by its own standards instead of your condition or your mood. I mean, isn't it amazing how some people will just continue the argument? Oh, well, I wasn't in a good mood, so therefore the movie sucked. I'm like, why not wait until you are in a good mood? I mean,
yeah, it's well, shit. And then there's no something rush. There's that. There's the thing of you'll talk to somebody enough. I've had this, I think, happen to one time. Talking to somebody enough where all of a sudden they're like, you're like, why does the movie suck? But this and that. And then they're like, I actually haven't seen it. I've only seen the trailer. And you're like, come on, are you kidding me?
They reveal that they become rather radical all of a sudden. So
yeah,
it was too woke for me. I'm like,
feel
free to lose my number if you're going to be a prick about this.
Exactly. Or speaking of that 21-year-old kid I was training, right when I sit down to, you know, I had met him before, but this time he's like, oh, so you like movies, right? And I'm like, yeah. He goes, what about Hitchcock? Like, he's naming all these main directors. And I'm like, oh. And so I forget that he's 21. And I'm like, oh, this kid knows Hitchcock. He knows Spielberg. He knows Scorsese. Yeah. All the ones that you're supposed to say when you
meet somebody. I hate it, too, when some people insist that a filmmaker must be, like, in the top of all time. It's it depends. They might be good, but they might have gone in bad in recent years to where you're wondering why you like them, you know?
Yeah.
Or maybe you like them, but you don't love them, you know?
And speaking of this thing about like arguing over a movie. So I'm talking to him and he's like, he goes, and I said, have you seen in the beginning of our thing, talk about Scorsese, Departed is a great movie. He goes, yeah, Departed is really good. I said, yeah. And then we're talking and then he goes, oh yeah, there was this, he goes, who's your favorite Joker? I said, he goes, mine's Jack Nicholson. I said, Heath Ledger like did really good. I said, Jack Nicholson's good. And then he goes, Jack Nicholson was in, he goes, he was in a movie with Channing Tatum. And I'm like, no. And he's like, no, he's in a movie with one of those pretty boys, Ryan Gosling or Ryan Reynolds. And I'm like, no. What? I go, I'm ready to slam my head into this vehicle over here because you're wrong. And what are you talking about? And he goes, well, there was a clip that I saw where Matt Damon's telling a story and
clip is not the movie.
I go about how the girl fell funny and he goes, yeah. And I go, yeah, that's Matt Damon talking about Jack Nicholson in The Departed. I go, you said you saw The Departed. And he goes, well, I never finished it. And I'm like,
want to be cool.
Yeah. You're telling me you saw it and then you're telling me that you haven't. Yeah, exactly. Same thing with, oh, you like Tarantino? I never saw Kill Bill 3. I go, there was never a 3. He's like, oh, well, then maybe I did see both of them. What happens in 2? I go, she kills Bill. Oh, maybe I haven't seen number 2. Well, come on. And then I go, I have to keep reminding myself that you're 21. You're 30 years younger than me. Like,
and with all the deep fakes, then it's just like, you know, like I asked, I saw some clickbait the other day saying, oh, Tom Cruise and Clarissa Lockhart getting a divorce. And I asked Meredith, is that true? And she's like, nope. I'm like, I wasn't doing research that day, but shame on me for even just taking the bait. You know, this is
all that's the, you click on it.
It's the simplest site. And sometimes, most of the time, the photo doesn't even have anything to do with it. It's just there because why not?
Well, and it's just, but those are those things where, you'll run into, like you said, those people who are just automatically like, no, I don't like it. Why don't you like it? I can't say why. And like you said, maybe I was in a bad mood. Well, or the reverse of, I went to a theater, saw Unbearable Weight of Massive Talent with me and my cousin. And I was like, that was really good because the audience reaction was so good. Everybody communal. Yeah. Then you get home, I'm like, we should buy that when it comes out. I'm going to buy it. And I did. And I watch it and it's still good. But that initial experience, you know, my friends did a podcast on it and they're like, oh, the movie, he's doing this accent and he's trying to be this theatrical trained actor at the end. And it's horrible. And I'm like, no, you didn't get it then because you're watching it for, you know.
Oh, man. And then having to remind these guys is like, were you not paying attention?
Exactly. But what is it, my turn now?
Totally.
Okay. Let's go Wizard of Oz.
Yeah, baby. Immortalized.
So, yeah, and that's one when I first was coming up with these five of going back and forth with that young 21-year-old. I'm like, ah, da, da. And then I'm like, oh, duh, Wizard of Oz. Like, yes, it's, you know, it was played on TV. I don't know how old you are, but I think you're around 30s. Okay, then you're one of the 21-year-old. Fuck you. No. that it used to play on TV all the time until about 20 years ago. They stopped playing. Like, it would play every November, October on TV.
Oh, man.
On like CBS or something. It'd play every year. And it was like a staple. Like, cool. You know, almost like It's a Wonderful Life, it would play. And it's like, okay, cool. And then all of a sudden they stop doing it. And you kind of forget how good it is until you rewatch it. And you're like, oh my God, that's really cool, you know. And then there's all the rumors. You see a guy hanging, which you don't, or you know, whatever. But it's a great movie. I can't say anything about it. It's just so good. And it's, you know, and even Star Wars has a little bit of that Return of the Jedi more. The little guy at the door, that little green guy that's like, no, you can't come in. And then he lets him in. And then you got that little sphere that pops out and opens its eye to talk to Luke and to talk to 3PO and R2 and stuff. And I'm like, oh, that's kind of like that. Like, he was kind of going for a fan. Maybe that's me reading into it. But it's just every song, I think.
It's pretty universal. And you're so drawn into the story. And it's one of those... Every once in a while, in a blue moon, there is a Killjoy who's like, oh, the books are, you know, darker fantasy with some sci-fi, steampunk, and horror elements. And I'm like, well, but at this time, you know, unless it was a Universal movie, you know, make it part of the monster films. There was no need to show what other scientific stuff the wizard does. And there's so many other shows nowadays that have done their own take, and I applaud them for it. I love Tin Man. I know there was this other one back in like 2017 that was pretty well liked, but this is unique in its own right. And like you say, the music moves the story along,
It's almost the original Total Recall, where at the end, it's like a mind fuck. Like, you're the like, wait a minute. You're like, she was like, you were there and you were there. And you're like, wait a minute. That is Burt Lair. Wait a minute. That is, you know, what's the name? You're like, holy shit. And then you're like, was she dreaming? Was she really, you know, it's just, it's
the
way
right
cool.
kind of way to make it ambiguous back in the day, especially with the color. The color is very worthy of the Technicolor. And
I used to think that was the first color process until recently. I saw in it, forgive me, I can't think of the name, Dr. X or The Return of Dr.
Dr. X. The freaking Vincent Price. Yeah.
They did a, it was somebody else. It was from the 30s. It was like 32 or something. And it's got this green color to it. So they got a green with
Michael
Curtis. So they had like, it was like tricolor or
Lionel Atwell.
Two color. And so you're like, oh my God, like it was really cool. And it's just really neat. And I'm like, oh, that had color in it. Okay, they're kind of doing color, you know. Or even on our old podcast, I did Hell's Angels that what's his name directed,
Hughes
directed, and that's got some color in it, like some color tinted parts. It's really cool. But anyway,
man, you got it, this dude. So my next one, without even looking at it, it's just ingrained in my blood. Have you, by any chance, ever seen All That Jazz?
Yes.
Okay, but there you go.
That was like, it's one where at the time when biopic. I watched it,
I just, because there's a lot of music in it, I just
exactly. But it was after Chicago that I saw this movie, and I was like, because I'm like, oh, let me see a Bob Fosse movie, and I watch All That Jazz, and then you're like, oh, he's like on drugs, you know. The I won't give away the and ending, but you're like,
I even got this the DVD for dark... my sister to Christmases ago, and I was like, please, whatever you do, see it with some theater friends. It's a good movie. Roy Scheider, never been better.
Yeah, yeah. But I was like, this is darker than I thought. But yes, it had some good music in it. Has some good, you know, dancing and all that stuff. Yeah, it definitely need to. It's funny, the movie that we talked about that started this whole thing was Chicago, and it's not even on my main list of five movies. So it's on my honorable mention.
It's on here. Interesting. All good.
Are you ready for my fifth and final?
Your final minutes.
This would be number one as well. Singing in the Rain is like, the story's great, the music is great, you know, it's Make 'em Laugh is a good sequence. You know, it's about music,
making fun of the movie studios, which couldn't say.
Yeah, talkies coming in, and how that girl can't, she talks with a squeaky voice. She does really great as an actress. And then they're like, well, we have to, and then Donna Reed, like the thing falls down and you reveal that, oh, she's the one really singing. And very cool. And just you got that big sequence in the rain. What were you gonna say?
No, totally. It's very deliberately colorful, just so intriguing, so insightful.
And funny. Like, I remember I was telling my dad something. My dad is old school, he's 70 something, and he's like, he's like, oh, Gene Kelly dancing, like, to him that's gay, like, he's not gonna watch it because it's gay. And I'm like, you don't get it, dad. Like, it's got humor to it, it's fun, it's just great.
By the way, and dad, so you can't talk that way now.
Yeah, exactly. Dad, you and I on the phone, all got that's it. Okay. Yeah.
I have plenty of relatives.
On the phone, it's okay, dad, but don't say this to anybody out in public. Yeah. Oh, no, I know.
God.
But that's one where I want to have him over sometime. He lives in Colorado, but have him over sometime and be like, let's watch this. And he'll be like, oh my God, this is funny. I like it. So,
what's your. My final answer is Pink Floyd's The Wall.
Interesting. You brought some different ones in
here. There was a recent airing of it on the now discontinued Friday segment at Turner Classic Movies, and I thought this was interesting because they really after the show, the commentator, what's his name, who's been on Young Turks also, Ben Mekowitz, you know, it was just so cool seeing him describe how it's a miracle that movie even got made with Roger Waters and Pink Floyd and company just not being easy to communicate with, and acclaimed filmmaker Alan Parker, who had done, you know, who went on to do so many other very musical savvy movies, and trying to make them and the studio and himself happy, you know.
Just
near impossible. But even people who hate this movie respect it because they know what it's going for. They know it's just a distorted, you know, summary of all their greatest hits, and with some crazy animation. Like, you should definitely save it for the animation alone, if not to hear all of Pink Floyd's hits and with visuals.
I've seen it back in the day, and I remember my mom told me a story about her and my dad. They went to see it and they were on acid or took acid after or something, and she goes and then I'm in the bathroom and she goes and a big tank came out of the toilet. And because of all the imagery from the movie, then all this imagery got in her head. And so she was like, what the hell? And but it's a thing where, not Pink Floyd's The Wall, but me and my friend went and saw where they did Wizard of Oz with what's the Pink Floyd, the main album that you're supposed to start after the third Lion's Roar.
Oh,
Pink Floyd with the diamond on the cover.
Diamond cover. Sorry, guys, I'm not that big an expert.
The diamond with the rainbow. the corner of it.
That would be.
But it's got
Shine the, on You Crazy Diamond.
Is that the one? But I'll anyway, whatever it was, it's a Pink Floyd album. Yeah, no,
that is definitely the logo.
And
yeah. So they played the Dark Side of the Moon. My bad.
Dark Side of the Moon. Yes. Duh.
And so, now everyone's going to go, we're like,
of course. Yeah. Everybody's like, duh. You guys are idiots.
Bitch. I can name
it. But you and I are like, yeah, it makes sense now. And that's the thing with the internet. You're like, I want to try to do stuff without the internet. But sometimes you're like, I just got to use the internet to find it because I'm driving myself mad. But it's a thing where they, if you've never done it, you should do it. It pretty much matches up. There's some parts, maybe not, but you play Wizard of Oz. After the third lion's roar, you hit play on your Dark Side of the Moon and it plays, and you can turn the sound down and just watch the visuals of Wizard of Oz.
Totally.
And when the door opens, when she gets onto Oz, I think that's when Money starts playing. Dun, 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 dun. And it just, and the camera's panning around through Oz, like, and it just works. And they had, so it was like a laser show, and it was that, and it was like really cool. And you just sit in an auditorium and you watch as they play clips. They didn't play the whole movie, but they played clips.
They
of that.
Probably can't. Yeah.
And yeah. But it was really fun and it was really neat. But yeah, that's
very interactive as opposed to being closed off.
I need to revisit Pink Floyd's Wall because I'm not a big fan of their music, dare I say. I like their music, but like the main, like my dad's like,
that's the other thing too. If it's a 30, 40 year old thing, you can't expect everybody to love it. But I will see people like that. You're not a real rock star. I'm like, no, you don't get it. You can't tell them to like it. If they don't like it, regardless of whether they understand it or not, it's not for them.
And something like that, where some people are like, I'm not into rock docs. There's this guy reached out to me who was like, hey, I want to do your podcast. And he does one called Rock Docs, where they just watch documentaries on a rock band and they, you know, dissect it and talk about it. But that's the thing. There's some people who are like, I'm not going to watch that. I'd rather just hear the album or do that. And you're like, no, some of these documentaries or just rock. Like that was like a visual album, like, you know,
it was all you had back in the day. It used to be you'd get the music videos on VHS with special features.
Yeah. And it's the same thing with, like, you're talking about that. Like, I've realized now that you can't get somebody to love what you love. Like the wife, a long time, there's a movie came out in 86 called Running Scared with Billy Crystal and Gregory Hines. I said, honey, I love this movie. It's out on Blu-ray. She bought it for me for Christmas, even though I was like, buy this for me for Christmas. She bought it for me. I said, honey, let's watch it. I put it on. I'm like, oh, this part's funny. This part's funny. I'm annoying, right? This part's funny. And I look over and she's asleep. So I go ahead and watch the whole thing.
That actually happened with me last night. I was doing a stand-up. My parents liked it, but they were falling asleep. So I paused it, nodded them on the shoulder. And my sister didn't like it at all. I'm like, is this okay? And she's like, I'm just here to spend time with you. I'm like, well, gee, thanks.
Yeah. Yeah. There's, well, so then the next night I go, and I'll get to that in a minute. The next night I put it on. I go, honey, let's watch Running Scared. She goes, you just watched it last night. I go, but I want to show it to you. She goes, okay. I go to play it. She falls asleep again. I'm like, okay, there's no getting her to love this. Like I love it. Just like she loves The Burbs. And I can watch The Burbs now and I like it, but I used to be like, what are you talking about? She can recite it and all this stuff. But the thing about comedians, I had this conversation with, it's funny how different people are different ways with their comedy, where Chip will be like, I was like, oh, Chip, did you watch John Mulaney's Got Some Good Stuff? And Chip's like, yeah, I tried to watch it. I didn't like it. He's like, but I watched Jim Gaffigan. Like, I like this. And I'm like, okay, so you probably can't watch, like, you know. It's like I heard that Red Rock with Bill Burr is really good on Netflix.
Yes.
And then like the other day, I watched the Chris Rock one on Netflix. And I was like, it wasn't as good as I thought. Right after that, I watched Kreischer. I watched his thing, Razzle Dazzle. And I'm laughing my ass off. And I'm like, this is my kind of humor. Chris Rock is good humor, but it wasn't as funny as I thought it would be. Razzle Dazzle was like making me laugh. So it's that thing of just like you said, like taste, like even if you were to show somebody Pink Floyd's Wall, they'd be like, this is boring. Where's the plot? Or, you know, Wizard of Oz is too old. I don't want to watch it. It's black and white. No, you got to wait. It gets color. I don't care. You know, So, but
oh man, but this was fun because, you know, aside from just having another lovely guest on, it's just cool to just see how music like this changes each
and every time. Yeah, well, and how different, and even you being younger still like older stuff like Gigi and things like yours wasn't like, I love Cats, I love, and that was the other thing.
Gigi is crazy.
Yeah, and I'm like, Cats has got to be good. Like, I almost, on Disney Plus, I was like, I should just watch this to watch it, and I bet it's not as bad as everybody says, because the musical went for so long, playing forever. Mm-hmm. Like, it's got to be, you know, great. But did you want to hear my honorable mentions before you
absolutely
leave?
Absolutely, my dude.
All right.
Everyone, there's a place for everybody.
Name, yeah. Oh, one that I didn't put on here that I forgot was, but I saw it like last year, Phantom of the Paradise. Have you seen this Brian De Palma movie from like 74? Mm-hmm. Yep. Really cool. I watched it and I'm like, oh my God, like Phantom of the Opera, but like with a twist and like really cool. And Paul Williams doing the music and oh, so great.
1000%.
But should we go back? I'll just name my four and then we can figure out whatever. Star is Born from 54.
Nice. With, I like the original My Own Self. Yeah.
What's the name of the girl I'm trying to think of from Wizard of Oz?
Judy Garland. Yep.
Judy Garland in it. So on my last podcast, I did all four Star is Born movies when the new one came out. And I didn't much care for the Streisand one. I didn't care for the old one. The old one was good from the 30s. But this Judy Garland one was really good. And then Moulin Rouge. So
favorite version. Yeah.
I put Moulin Rouge on here and Chicago, but I haven't seen Moulin Rouge when it first came out. I went to the theater and saw that and saw Chicago. And I remember asking my friend what she liked. She liked Chicago better because it was like the theater, like a play. And then I bought them both right away. I bought the soundtrack for Chicago and the soundtrack for Moulin Rouge. And I maybe watched Chicago maybe two times when I bought it. And maybe two times from Moulin Rouge, haven't went back to visit them. So I'm like, are these going to hold up? Like, I like Moulin Rouge.
You don't
Rouge,
know until you know. Yeah.
But I think I would like Chicago over, I almost put Chicago in the main five because I like, because of, like you said, with all that jazz, it's got that song, all that jazz, but it's got all these good songs in it. But also one of the good ones. Now, the music, I'm not sure because I can't think of it. When I think of this movie, Seven Brides for Seven Brothers, all I think about is the dance sequences were awesome. I don't know any of the songs. I couldn't tell you, but Seven Brides for Seven Brothers was really cool. It told a story. It was really cool. And those are my five honorable mentions. Cause yeah. Yeah.
Did I say totally. I mean, I have some other ones, but we're suppressed for time. I really right, no just, problem. If anything, I recommend Gigi the most out of all of these. Cause like even people I've always had a good turnout with it. People who just like older movies, people who aren't necessarily as big on musicals, but like whatever it is, there's just something unusually engaging about this story, and the cast is dynamite.
Yeah, I've heard
all their names, but
yeah, I've heard nothing but good things about it. And yeah, I need to find that and watch it. So yes, for sure.
Yeah, it's on Turner Classic Movies quite a lot. Those who don't have cable anymore, I'm sure you can find.
Yeah, it might be on HBO. I think it's on HBO Max, maybe.
Oh, so there you go.
Turner Classic Hub.
Yeah, yeah, the TCM library. Cool. I was varying with those because sometimes they had, you know, those movies on there, but it was only for that week that they were on TCM. But yeah. Just keep checking back. Well,
and a good hack for anybody who doesn't have cable, I had my friend's email address for his cable. So then he was like, here's the email address. So I could use that for the app and watch Turner Classic Movies. But then he was like, we got rid of cable. And I'm like, oh, shit, like that. Because you could watch what was on that night. You know, it has the whole list of everything and you can just go through it. But yeah. This has been fun. I enjoyed
it. Anything you'd like to promote that you're taking on?
I mean, what's cool about making Tarantino this podcast. When I was doing the other podcast that I keep talking about, My Celluloid Heart, which was movies that affected me when I was growing up, like, you know, that meant a lot, like Smoking the Bandit.
The reason you got into this.
And E.T. I got an E.T. tattoo because E.T. was like the power of movie making. When E.T. dies and Elliot turns around, the flower blooms. So you're crying a second, flower blooms, you're hopeful. He unzips the thing. E.T. goes, Elliot, Elliot, you know, E.T. phone home. And you're like, I'm crying. Power movies. So on the old one, we would just pick, what are we going to do next? Let's do Cobra and Beverly Hills Cop. Okay. But we were always, so we knew what was coming. This one, now I built a spreadsheet of all the movies that Quentin Tarantino likes or recommends. That's what our podcast is about. So at the end of the show, I go, our next movie is, and I open it up, and it always, every time I open it, has picks a new selection. So then I'm like, this is our next movie. So we don't know what's coming. So at the end, it's always a surprise.
Yeah.
So this one coming up, whenever this is going to release, but one that's already out, whatever, is Halloween. We're doing Halloween. My cousin has never seen Halloween from 1978. So I'm like, he goes, I've seen the Rob Zombie one. I go, oh dude, you need to, like, this is great. And so it's going to be fun. And then, I'm going to ask him on there, kind of like you asked me, like, who do you like? Freddy, Jason, Michael. And there's some cool kills in Friday.
Some cool cats out there, but.
But yeah, so that's what's fun. So that's what our podcast is about. And then we kind of go through it a little bit, and then we'll discuss it just kind of at random. And we'll come up with stuff, even if it's a horrible movie. My cousin will be like, well, I thought it was like she was this hitman or something. And I'm like, oh my God, that's a good take. Or he's like, Klaus Kinski in the spaghetti Western reminded me of the Joker. And I'm like, oh wow, I never looked at it that way. So it brings you having these conversations. So,
right.
Yeah. It's wherever you,
stuff you didn't think you was possible to have.
So, well, that's what's fun is what's fun about your show is it's always different.
Okay, so we like your variety. Like, so you're squishing it in, making it to where not everyone wants to engage in the same show.
But the good thing is where I'm like Law and Order, I'm not up to date on Law and Order, so I'll skip that one. But I'll watch, or X-Files. Maybe I'll go back and visit X-Files, watch it. But you can find something in your feed of like, okay, I'm going to watch Lucy Liu. I'm going to listen to that. Listen to this.
I try to have some for everybody. And I also try to be spoiler-free as much as I can. Like, hey, there's this plot twist here. And, unless it's just impossible. Yeah. Any of the ones that involve ghosts or political conspiracy aliens, that's going to be very intense to where it's like, okay, don't watch this. Listen to the. I mean, I'm not going to give away every single plot twist like an M. Night thing, but I am going to probably explain why people are divided on this.
Exactly. Yeah, that's the good way to be. But also that you put out a show, every day? Like, oh, so that's insane. Like,
anything to entertain people, man.
Yeah.
Glad you can make it. Do it. And welcome back.
Exactly. As long as you're not burnt out. When you get burnt out, then you're like, oh, when it stops being fun, then you're like, okay.
Follow us on the web on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. The podcast is available on Podbean, Spotify, iHeartRadio, Anchor, Apple, and anywhere else podcasts are available. Feel free to review our show and leave comments on any of those sites. Thanks a million for listening. It's a jacked up.